What would you pick if you could choose a superpower?
I wish that you could, like, pinch somebody with your eyes.
Like a voodoo doll?
Yeah, like, I wish I could voodoo doll people. Like, I don't want to hurt them, mm-hmm. but I would like them to have pain for just a second when they do something that's wrong. Like a pinch, like an electric shock.
Okay, great. Like Voldemort. Like a Harry Potter scar.
Yes, that's what I want. I want to be Voldemort.
Okay. That's a good mom skill.
And that's kind of what it is. Like, when they roll their eyes at me, I just want to be like, your lightning scar hurts.
I knew you were talking about your kids. I got it out of you.
I mean, and again, it's not long-term pain. There's no bruising.
Yeah.
More psychological. It's what I'm doing, psychological warfare.
Okay. It's what the mom glance should do.
But mine doesn't work. Mom's works.
That's right. It does. It still works.
It still works. And mine is just impotent.
Broken.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to the Struggle Well Project, the podcast that helps you love your actual life so that you don't need to run away from home. We believe that perfection is nonsense and peace is a perspective shift away. So at the top of the show, you heard my sister basically tricking me into saying that I wanted to be Voldemort. You heard that, right? She's so sneaky. For those of you who love the pod and want to support the pod and get access to additional content such as what you just heard at the top of the show, plus access to our monthly live focus recaps, join our Patreon community over at patreon.com/strugglewellproject. I crunched some numbers. The Amys used to be winning. There are now as many Lauras as there are Amys. There's 7 of each. However, if you add in the Laurens, there are 4 of them, then the Laura Lauren contingency is really winning. We did gain another Emily. There are 4 of us now. I would love to see Emily's take over the Patreon community. I would love to see some in the Patreon community change their name to Emily. I want to say a special thank you to Jamie Jinx, Jamie Harper, and Janie Way for being in our Patreon community. Y'all are so fantastic. So this week I struggled well in the area of gray hair. I've been getting them on and off for a couple years, and I always pull them out, but I'm noticing they're happening all in the same spot. And so I had a perspective shift, and I am very excited about them. I feel like if I could rock a silvery stripe, I'm really down with that. So all of a sudden, I'm kind of excited to see the gray hairs come in. I need to tell you about Lisa LA816. She left a review, and this is what it said. I normally listen to this podcast on my daily commute, and 1 week I didn't, and by the end of the week, I really missed it. The way you miss hearing from a friend. That's so sweet. Lisa, thanks for listening, and thank you for leaving a review. Why these reviews matter. They let other people know the show is worth their valuable time. They help keep the show visible to everybody on the podcast charts. So do me a great favor and leave a review if you haven't yet. It really helps me out. So this is episode 163, and I am talking to Kim Stewart. She is a fiction author. And I gotta be honest, I have no idea how I even got connected with her, but I'm so glad I did. She is funny. She kind of just took over the interview and we went all kinds of places I didn't mean to go, but was very glad to be there. We laughed a ton. We talk about how to help your kids when they're choosing friends, how to extend grace to yourself when you've said way too much. And we also talked about weird things that we've done when we met famous people. So the Struggle Well Project focus this month is family. If you're subscribed to the email list, you just got an email this morning with the printables in there that we're going to work on all month and then recap at the end of the month everything that we learned. If you are not on the email list and you want that printable, head to strugglewellproject.com/family and you can get that free download. So print it off. We're going to be thinking about family, chewing on some concepts regarding family this month, and then we'll recap at the end. So I'm so excited to be on this Struggle Well project with you. Let's go ahead and get started on my talk with Kim. Kim, how are you this morning?
Well, I'm a little sleepy, but I'm encouraging myself to face the day. And if I speak with a higher octave pitch that goes up, I face the day better. How are you, Ham?
You kind of sound a little like Mickey Mouse there. That's fine.
Well, there's a reason all those shows are on in the morning with those happy, happy voices.
Oh, man. I was not sad when my kids got over the Mickey Mouse Club and Dora the Explorer and Diego.
You and me both. We actually banned Diego.
You did.
Which kind of grafted Dora in as well. And it was my husband, who's pretty much a chill person, but there was something about Diego's voice that injured him. Yeah. It went, oh, he's not really. And then we also had another guy we banned. Did you have Caillou?
That kid is so whiny. That kid, I don't even like Caillou.
Honestly, I want to know, were there parents who were writers for that show? Because he complained all the time.
Maybe kids wrote it.
That's my number one suspicion.
And then also the music. Oh, it just gets in your head. Like, it gets its claws in there.
You see what I'm saying? There are things that we endure in motherhood that no one ever tells you about beforehand. Labor is one thing, but Caillou continues.
Mm-hmm. And they say that, like, our kids act like they're the ones that are tortured. But really, it's us.
No.
But now my kids are into talking dog movies where computer-generated mouth movements.
That's rough.
Yeah. And then also things about mermaids.
Yeah, we went through a mermaid stage.
Mm-hmm. I'm not down with it. And then my son is super into mermaids, and my husband has a problem with that.
So. You know there's a problem when he's longing for Diego and Caillou.
I know. Come on back, click. Take a pic. Oh, man. Okay.
I love it. Okay.
So your kids are older now. Well, like 10 is your youngest.
They are officially way beyond Caillou, praise Jesus. My youngest just turned 10 this week.
Okay.
And then the two older are 12 and 15.
Okay. What is that? Like, what's working in that age group?
You mean?
I don't know. I don't know. That age, all of that is makes me nervous.
Yeah. Well, I will say my 15-year-old daughter is a phenomenal trailblazer for our family. She is a great teenager.
Okay.
That's great because she kind of sets the tone for everybody else. She's done a great job of, she chooses her friends wisely. I'd say that's probably number one, mm-hmm. the friendship piece. Everything seems to fall from that.
Have you had friends that you've had to say, I don't think so?
Yeah, you sounded much more diplomatic right there than I did when I expressed that concern. Yeah, I mean, I try to be probably if you're into Bible verse memorization, the one that has been the best for me my whole life is set a guard over my mouth, oh Lord, over the door of my lips, because I tend to speak a little bit too quickly. So that can be total disaster status with a teenager. So I try to be diplomatic when I talk about those things. And to have a lot of empathy, you know, why is it that this person is attracted to you? We have had to have a few of those conversations, but by and large, she's done a really good job of picking people that, I mean, our litmus test is always, is it life-giving to be with that person? Or do you feel sucked dry when you're with that person? And that usually can kind of, that slots people pretty quickly.
That's good.
Now the piece of having courage to walk away from that person is a whole different ballgame. But usually she can figure out pretty quickly, is this a good one? You know, is this someone that's going to build me up and encourage me and make me more of myself or less? And that's lifelong, right? I mean, aren't adult women too always trying to figure that out as well? So,
yeah.
But she's done a good job. And then our son is getting ready to get into junior high this week. So
how does he feel about that? We had just a bunch of friends. My friends had headed their kids into middle school last week. It's a lot of feelings.
It's a lot of everything, right? Yeah. Well, I know his locker combination because we've gone through it a few times. Okay. And that's important, right? That fear of standing in the 4-minute passing period and not being able to open your locker.
That was a very real fear for me. I'm so bad at that kind of stuff. And I just.
For real.
Yeah. Bad.
Yeah. And the time, you know, it's not elementary school where people are, you know, the teachers are a little bit more strict about that kind of thing, you know, be on time and you're in your seat. So he did tell me last night that he didn't sleep well because he had a dream that he couldn't find his schedule. So I know that subconsciously, no matter what he's saying during waking hours, he's a little worried about it. He's watched his sister go first, which is huge.
Okay.
And he knows she really loved her. We have a sweet junior high and a great team atmosphere there. So I think once he starts, he'll be okay. But
yeah.
I don't know. I think this whole thing is way harder the second time around. Watching
really?
My kids go through junior high and watching my daughter go to high school is way harder than when I was in high school.
Okay.
I think I was oblivious in high school. I mean, I had no idea. I mean, whatever. You know, you do one day by one day and there were bad days, but watching my kids do it is so painful.
Okay. Maybe I'll have those feelings as I get older, but I don't know. Maybe I don't. I don't know.
I didn't in elementary school.
You didn't. Okay.
Ew. Okay. No. And I was not the crying mom at kindergarten drop off. I was like, you're going to love it. Bye.
Yeah, me either. I wasn't. But it does get a little bit more intense. I guess you see them facing more intense things.
Yeah. I think I thought that the intensity level would ratchet down as they got older and got more independent, but I have found the reverse to be true emotionally. It's not that same physical exhaustion of two little eyeballs waking you up at a really early hour, yeah. Right? And everyone is very competent at wiping their own tissues. So like so the good. Physical piece of that, yeah, I mean, that's a victory. Mm-hmm. But the emotional part of it is still, I mean, even more because the things that they come home with that they're having to deal with are intense and big and kind of life altering as opposed to here's a cookie. It'll feel so much better after this cookie in the park, you know?
Yes. We're going to pause for a minute so I can tell you again about a company I love, Natural Red Essentials. If you love supporting small business, if you want to use products made by another mom, then you need to know about Natural Red Essentials. Karen started making these products for her family so she knew exactly what was in their skincare. Then she went through a divorce and ended up needing a way to support her 5 kids. And so now she is providing you with the opportunity of using the things that she's been making. Like I've told you before, my family loves her products. Because it's winter and my skin's super dry right now, I am loving her extra thick cream that she has for dry skin called Cracks Are Whack. And you guys, Cracks Are Whack. It's got lavender and cedarwood in it. It smells so good and it works really well. So if you are interested in any of the products that I've been telling you about with Natural Red, go to naturalredessentials.com, use the coupon code SWP, and you're going to get 15% off your order. So again, that's naturalredessentials.com, coupon code SWP for 15% off of all of the really great products that Karen offers. Go check her stuff out. You'll love it too. How do you, you talked about that they're grappling with their faith at this point. Mm-hmm. What does that look like? How do you be safe so that they can ask you questions?
Right.
What does that look like?
Well, I don't know. You're asking me like I really know, Emily. I don't. I'm doing the best I can. But I grew up in a house and I've tried to kind of continue the legacy of saying over and over to my kids, there's no question. And no doubt and no fear that's too big for the God that loves you. There's nothing you can do that will scare him. And also, there's not stuff that you can do that will scare me and your dad. And, you know, privately, we might freak out. But in front of them, we really want them to always feel like it is a safe place to ask huge, big questions and also to know that the answers are muddy sometimes. And that doesn't lessen God's love for you and it doesn't cheapen the gospel. In fact, it probably enriches it because it reminds you that there's mystery there and there's stuff that you don't know and that's okay. So my husband, when he was in youth group years ago, he was going through a time where he was really questioning. He's a scientist. And so he had a lot of questions regarding science and faith and other things too with his faith. And he went to youth group and the people there laid hands on him and prayed for him, tried to, quote, pray the doubt away. Oh. And it was kind of injuring to him. Mm. It hurt him that they wouldn't just listen and that they wouldn't kind of engage in that conversation. And he felt like he was doing something wrong by asking a question.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's danger. I think that's a dangerous place to be and to parent. So we kind of those experiences have informed the way that we talk about those things to our kids.
Yeah. There's so many questions in the Bible. So we are allowed to ask questions. It's encouraged. I mean, because that's relationship.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And what a beautiful relationship when you can ask those questions and not feel like you're counting 3, 2, 1 for this simple, pretty answer, right? That's not real. That's not a real relationship. So yeah. I don't know. I mean, ask me in 20 years, I might've done it all completely wrong. But right now it feels like I like it that they ask, you know, I never want it to be that they feel like they have to go somewhere else to ask the hard stuff.
Yeah, it's good. You know, I think those pretty answers make the answerer feel better, but not the questioner.
So true.
And I think as a parent, especially, we just get really nervous. I know I do, about their future. And I think you said, I think it was you in your answers said, your goal as a parent is to help your kids see the downside of prison.
Yeah. Always a high goal. Always something you want to keep in front. See this orange jumpsuit? It's not that great.
It's not
no matter
great.
How good you look in orange.
It's true. Even if it's mm-hmm. your color.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Even if you're in autumn.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I think we need to not just give answers that help us not feel nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good.
You got to kick against it, right? Because that's a knee-jerk reaction. How do I fix? How mm-hmm. do I diagnose? How do I make it better?
You know what I found that really gets my kids off their game is when like they're mad about something and then I'll tell them, wow, well, one time I really messed this up when I was your age in this way. Then they're like, hold it. I'm in. I'm
right.
listening.
Totally.
Love
no,
that
it's so true. That empathy piece is when I can remember to do it, their shoulders go down. Their faces relax, their fists unclench. If I say, I totally get why you're mad right now. I mm-hmm. get this. Mm-hmm. Man, your sister can be really hard, right? She is so annoying right now. I love her, but right now this is not her best moment. Then all it's like the air just gets let out of the room because I think that's such a fundamental human thing to want someone to understand you. Even our kids. I should not put them in another category. They also want me just to understand and empathize.
I forget they're people.
Like I totally do.
I can understand that my friends would want that. I can understand that my husband would want that.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I think their problems are so silly to me sometimes that I forget
right.
that they're a giant deal to them.
Right. Mermaids are big right now.
Yeah. This morning, my son built this Lego dragon. And by he built it, I mean his older guy friends built it for him while he watched. But he's taking credit right. that he built all of it.
Totally.
But then the dog made the jaw of the dragon drop off and he lost his bananas over it.
Yeah.
So that was stuff that I was like, well, he's at a 10. He's at a level 10 about this dragon jaw.
Oh,
thinks the dog did it on
design.
Purpose. Thinks the dog planned it out, like maliciously.
It was nefarious. He was plotting all night, that dog, and had it happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so you said that you struggle with your sharp tongue. And I wanted to read what you wrote because I really liked it. You should be a writer or something. Like, you're really good at writing. Just kidding. You are a writer.
Better writing than changing my verbal sparring. So
no kidding. It's so much nicer when you can write it down and delete it than when you said it. Mm. So you said, just when I think I'm making progress, I slide down deep right off the edge of the mud that I've just scaled. It can be very defeating with your regards to your tongue. So like what's working? What? I don't know. How would you encourage somebody who is like me? And it's really great to have a quick wit, except all the times
except
that
when
you
it's not.
Are destructive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. These are hard questions in the morning. Let me think. Okay. So to encourage, I would just say until we have died, it's not over. And I know that sounds a little simplistic, but I need that reminder because in addition to tearing things down with my words, I also like to rehash how I've torn things down with my words and, you know, carry that around with me and think, I cannot believe I said that. I'm the friend who will be so honest and ready to engage. And then I'll go home and think, oh my gosh, what was I thinking? Mm. And text people, you know, when I said that, I didn't really mean that about, say, the color red against your skin. I meant it's really no, I haven't gotten that. I've reined that in since junior high. But in general, I replay, especially with my kids. I'll replay and think I hurt them this way. So
is it when they have said that you've hurt them or what you're just perceiving that you might have?
Oh, both. I'd say both. But yeah, I really have a hard time extending grace to myself sometimes, okay. which is such a dangerous zone. It's such a spiral into shame, and then you make no progress because the focus is directly on you, which is exactly where it shouldn't be.
Yeah. How do you get out of that?
I find it goes better if I go straight to what would I tell my daughter? Okay. I am much more gracious with my daughter and daughters and my son than I am with myself. So if I have that tape playing in my head, and I said tape because I am a child of the 80s and we had tapes.
What would we say now?
I know, exactly. If I had that file on...
if that MP3 was on repeat.
Yeah, it just sounds dumb.
I did say rewind to my kids the other day, and they we were watching Netflix, and they're like, I have no idea what you're... talking about
me. Well, how do they get it to go back?
What about this? I just finally said go backwards. I don't
go back.
Reback. I don't understand. I don't know how to talk to you.
Oh my gosh, it's hilarious. You need an interpreter for new people. So the rewind. The read back, I do the read back over and over. But with my daughter, I don't. Like if my daughter would say to me, hey, I'm really still feeling horrible about what I said or what I did 2 weeks ago, I would say, whoa, grace. The grace is sufficient for every day. Mm-hmm. If God forgot that, you don't get to remember it anymore. So I'm so quick with that with her, not so quick.
Yeah.
Me. But
do you find that I tend to be harder on my daughter than my son, I think because she's a girl. Mm-hmm. Do you find that you're not any different with your girls than your son?
I am harder on them, I think, particularly with the verbal sparring. Mm-hmm. They both have healthy tongues. And so, I don't know. I find that my son, Mitch, is just kind of... His personality too is pretty, he's middle child and he's pretty chill. Uh-huh. And so he doesn't give me as many immediate reasons to get on him, I guess. Uh-huh. I don't know. I mean, Anna is 15 and so she's paving the way all the time. And so every new stage for her, we just had a conversation yesterday in the car and she said, I feel like you are too rough on me, that you are rougher on me than you are with the other two. And sometimes that might be true. And sometimes even the perception is what needs to be honored, right? Like even to say, I mean, even if in my head, I'm thinking, probably not. But for her to hear, listen, I was an oldest too. And I'm sorry you feel that way because I know you feel a burden the other two don't. And you feel a responsibility. Sometimes that's awesome that you get responsibilities that they don't. But you probably feel a weight that they don't feel. And I'm sorry if I have increased that weight for you.
I love the idea of honoring the perception because I am so quick to tear down the perception.
Right.
Because my brain is fully formed and I am able to.
Totally.
And they don't have a choice but to kind of take it because I provide the food and the clothes and the rides.
Right.
And
right.
That's
and your mom and you're smart. I remember my daughter was, I think Anna was about, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8. And she said to me one day, it devastated me. And she said, you don't even know what it's like to do things wrong. You don't sin anymore.
Oh, wow.
And I stopped and it knocked the breath out of me because I thought, wow, I have not been doing that right. If that's what you think, that means my pride is an entire wall in front of us. Mm. If you have not seen the humility that is required of me every day in God's presence and in talking to my husband. And I mean, I was so appalled that that's the message she was getting that I just didn't do that anymore. You got to, a certain age, about 32, and it was all good. What in the world? But it was a horrible moment, but I've thought of that a bazillion times since then and thought, okay, what's the message they're getting here?
Yeah.
Are they hearing, I'm sorry, I screwed up, I did this wrong? Or am I just thinking that and projecting this? It's all good. Everything's good.
I love that your kids thought that because my kids are like, oh, my mom is a mess.
Oh, well, that's way healthier.
Well,
I don't know what kind of mojo juice they were drinking, because and maybe it was just early on, you know, maybe she was too young to, I don't know. They've definitely seen it since then.
That's funny.
I think she saw it and just was not acknowledging it. Like, this is just what an adult does. And okay, adults have it, have it all together. I was clearly wigging out, freaking out, crying, doing all sorts of things in her presence that apparently she was chalking up to
righteous anger.
Yeah, exactly. It all works out. That's probably in the Bible. She's doing what they did in the Bible.
My mom is, I will arise and call her blessed.
Oh my gosh. I don't think she was doing any of that. There was no arising.
Okay. You guys know I love Prep Dish. My friend Allison started it, and her tagline is shop once, prep once, and enjoy healthy, stress-free meals all week. It's true. That's exactly what it does for me. And I gotta say, I don't have time to do all of the meals every single week. What I love about the way that she does it with her subscription is that she sends you an email once a week with your grocery list made out and then all the prep in order so that you're cutting everything all at the same time and then you move on to baking everything you need to bake all at the same time. She organizes it in such a way that you are saving a lot of time in the kitchen. Like I said, I don't have time to do every single one every single week, but the meals are numbered. So if, say, I decide I'm not going to do meal number two, then everything with a two next to it on the grocery list, I just cross out and I don't buy. So I love how easy it is to do all of the meals or just do some of the meals. It makes you feel like a real hero in the kitchen. So if you want to start saving time now and get your first 2 weeks for free, go to prepdish.com/SWP and then coupon code SWP for 2 weeks free. Do you want everybody to think you are the most thoughtful person they've ever met this year at Christmas? Not that it's a competition, but if you like competition, go to canvaspeople.com. This week, 3 Canvas People canvases arrived at my house. Not gifts for other people. They were totally just gifts for me. Everything I've ever ordered from them is spot on. It never disappoints. I tried turning regular pictures into canvases myself, and it worked for a minute, but then they started to fall apart. I went ahead and got smart and just let Canvas People do it. It looks miles better. As a special limited time holiday offer, Canvas People is giving you their 11x14 photo canvas completely free. That's right, free. These normally sell for $69.99, but this week you're going to pay nothing. You just have to cover the shipping and handling. So to get your free canvas, text SWP to 484848. Just pay shipping and handling. This offer won't last. Text SWP to 484848. That's SWP to 484848. Message and data rates may apply. So you also said that you are kind of walking through, or you have come through, I'm not sure, but wanting other people to affirm your worth. We want to get that from outside sources. What's working with that?
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry.
What about, like, what's your favorite color? What do you think about, you know, Sarah Groves? I saw a picture of you with Sarah Groves, Emily.
I love her.
Okay. Let's talk about what we do when we meet famous people.
Okay.
I turn into a psychotic woman. I have prepped myself thinking I'm going to be super cool and I'm going to be really chill and I'm just going to talk about how her work impacted my life. And then I get in front of her, as I've done. I've met her twice.
Sarah Groves.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you do?
First of all, I started crying.
Okay. It's good.
So, and that's pretty much my go-to. I'm a crier. I can't watch the Olympics because I cry. Through the whole Olympics, I miss all of the races because I'm like, think of how hard they work. So unbelievable. Look at his mom in the bleachers. Think of what she's sacrificed. Okay, so I'm already a crier, but Sarah Groves times 50 crier.
Whatever, she's amazing.
Honestly, everything she does is phenomenal.
Yes.
So first I wept, which is probably for 1/13th of a second kind of an honor. Mm-hmm. Oh, I made this person cry with my work. And then, you know, I mean, I'm a grown woman. I'm not a crier that sounds good when I'm crying. Some people can cry with gentle tears that are like sparkly.
Just one that comes down at the right moment for emphasis.
Mm-hmm. But no mascara even attached, just a little tear. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is not the way I do this.
Paint the picture for me. You walked up to Sarah. Why were you meeting her, by the way?
I went to a concert and of course, cried through the concert. And then afterwards, she's standing in the lobby and I go up to her and I'm like, hi, just... And I sounded, I don't have a cat, and so I've never seen a cat in heat, but I'm just imagining that's a little bit what it sounded like. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then so she's like so sweetly just standing there waiting for you to
get it together. Mm-hmm. She's thinking to herself, holy Moses, can this woman tell me what she really thinks instead of
just got to go to the bathroom.
Honestly,
I'm just trying to walk through the lobby.
3 hours. Totally. Walking through the lobby. Just was going to ask somebody for a paper towel and this woman. So that was the first time. And I think I just pushed reback for the next one. Did the same thing, different place, different concert.
Why did you feel like you just wanted to go up again and try? Was it like a redemption move?
Yes.
Like, hey, I'm
yes, it was. We've seen Shawshank Redemption, Emily, and I wanted that moment. Mm-hmm. I just want to be like, hey, I'm sure
cool.
You don't remember me. That's best.
I'm breezy.
But, you know, anyway.
Mm-mm. Cried again. Okay.
She induces crying in me.
Yeah. Can I tell you what I did the first time I met her?
Please do.
First of all, she was coming out of the bathroom, and I was kind of waiting there, doing the bathroom stock.
Okay, that's good. And that's almost equally as bad as weeping uncontrollably.
I know, because I'm like, she's in there. There's only one way out.
She will have to pass through.
Because she's singing pretty soon, and I'm pretty sure she has to come out. So anyway, I stood there.
Gosh, this was before the concert.
It was pre-concert.
Because
what if I don't get the chance after?
Totally. I see your thinking.
So the first thing that came out of my mouth was, I have bowling pins all over my house because of your song, Setting Up the Pins. And
I love
it changed
that
my life. And she's like, whoa. Okay. She's still like drying her hands from the bathroom. And then I said, my dress that I'm wearing costs $12. What?
Wait, what? Why?
I got a really awesome cocktail dress and it was $12. And that's just what came out of my mouth.
Of course it is, because it's a little like PTSD. You don't know when, you don't know how, you can't conceptualize, it just happens. And you wrote, what did she say to the dress comment?
I like it. She was so sweet, but also like, you are coming on a little strong. I'm like, you don't have any idea how many hard times you've helped me through with your music.
That was after the dress? That's hilarious. See how gracious she is to
very gracious
people like us? That makes me love her more.
And then I said, I have a podcast if you want to be on it. And she didn't take me up on that offer. After all those introductory comments, I can totally imagine why.
What was she thinking? You should have said, and I bought an extra dress and you can have it. You could dress alike for the podcast.
Can
that
we
would have
be twins?
Her.
Oh my gosh. So awkward. But I did talk about her on Instagram and she did reply to me. So that makes, that means we're fine.
All forgiven.
That means she thinks I'm regular.
I love that story. And I completely empathize with that. And it's not just Sarah. I mean, it's a problem with me. I don't meet a lot of famous people. But the reason probably is because Jesus has seen what happens and has said, don't ever do that again. These are normal humans and you act weird.
I know. It's hard.
Yeah, it's bad. Shawn Johnson, the Olympian. The Olympic, I cried through the Olympics, but I saw this part. She's a gymnast.
Okay.
You know, Lil Shawn Johnson, she was on Dancing with the Stars.
I feel like I don't have the same Olympic fever as you do.
That'd be hard to have that because we play the Olympic theme song for about 6 months before it airs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even watch the Olympic.
Oh, what? What?
The Olympics were in China and I didn't, when I lived there, I didn't even go. So it's not. See, I'm like an anti-Olympic.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. This is painful for you.
It's all going downhill.
I'm not anti. I just don't have a feeling.
Listen, you are like a lot of people. Most people don't. And for some reason, I can't look away. And we watch all of the footage, even the extra footage on like other channels. We are those people.
Do you watch every event?
Well, I mean, I can't get a lot into, say, all the bow and arrow stuff, whatever that's even called.
Is curling Olympic
sport? Curling is Olympic.
Do you curl? Are you a curlist?
I am not. I don't think that's a word.
Curlologist?
I'm not. No, I don't curl, and I really don't like that sport. I know it's really hip.
It feels like sweeping the floor. It feels like what I do in my kitchen, and nobody gives me any medals about it.
That's right. And sometimes I scream like they do. And really squeals. But no one cares. No one cares. No, I'm not into that one, but pretty much every other one. Even table tennis. Even badminton.
That can't be an Olympic sport.
It absolutely is. And you have to watch it next time because it's hilarious.
Why?
Because they are fully formed adults running around with rackets that weigh like 6 ounces and with a thing called a birdie slapping things everywhere. That's funny. And people are serious and in referee outfits. What's not to love about that?
Oh, that actually does sound really good.
That's
now that
what I'm
you.
Saying.
Yes.
It's worth it. Table tennis, same.
Okay.
They are crouched over and dripping with sweat.
No.
Yes, they are.
Okay.
I'm sending you a link.
I need to know about it. Okay, here's another thing. You have gotten me way off topic, and I don't appreciate it, but I like where we've gone. I like it. I think that one time I went with my husband to a bed and breakfast, and, you know, where you eat in the morning with all the other guests. It was really fun. But I met a couple who, they went on cruises that were Scrabble competitions.
No, you didn't.
So it's all Scrabble people. And they said...
Sorry.
No, it's a true story. And they said that they loved it because you win like all kinds of, I don't know, money and more cruises or something. But that the Asians memorized the dictionary and they kept winning. And they didn't even speak English, but they kept winning the Scrabble competition because they just knew the words.
That's amazing.
And I just thought, to memorize a dictionary, like, that is such dedication.
They deserve it. They deserve those wins. Yes. I don't memorize my own dictionary, much less one in Mandarin.
No kidding.
So give them the money.
Let them cruise to Buenos Aires or whatever, wherever they want to go. Them and their big vocabulary.
Totally. And their 50-point words that use X and...
Yes,
w,
triple X or whatever. I don't even know how that works.
That's
anyway,
amazing.
So I am fascinated by people who are super into interesting things. I watched a documentary called Pucker Up. I don't think it's on Netflix anymore, but it's about whistling competitions. And
no
they
way.
Are fierce.
See, this is totally up my alley. My husband, Mark, I always want to watch TV and then it never happens because the days are over and then I go to bed.
Yeah.
But sometimes I will go down and I'll see on my DVR list that Mark also has wanted to watch TV and he will record very strange niche things that I don't know even exist. Like one time we watched one about people who are raising the largest pumpkin for a competition. And they pour like milk over these things in the dead of night because that's what their grandma told them. And then there's like subplot of nefarious activity where other pumpkin growers would come and sabotage. Dead. These are absolutely serious things.
Do you remember the title of that?
I'm going to have to look it up and send it to you because that was actually a documentary that was so, so great.
The Great there Pumpkin Keeper.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. For real. Last week, he recorded something that was like karate meets hip hop dance competition.
Wow.
This was a serious thing. Okay. And I think the best, so they would do these karate moves, dang, dang, really fast on the beats to the music. Okay. In pairs.
Synchronized karate,
hip hop dance moves. And they would scream at different parts to show. And at the end, they really scream and look like warriors. And the best part, as you might imagine, is the commentators, because they have to seriously say things like, oh, I can feel the intensity here, Dan. Dan, last time, Haley really had a disappointing finish with her nunchucks. And this actually happens. I mean, why would we ever watch a movie when you can watch things like that?
I mean, it's real life. I love it. Okay, those commentators kill me because what constitutes a disappointing finish?
What constitutes
an amazing finish? You understand in gymnastics when they fall over.
Right. That's
that
a
wasn't
disappointment.
Planned.
That's right.
But like what? Your nunchucks, it only did the Speaking of nunchucks, my husband has them, and he actually...
Wait, what?
Yep. I did not know my husband is a magician. He likes to pick locks, and he is proficient. I mean, he can nunchuck like a Teenage Mutant really. Ninja Turtle. I'm not
That's
kidding.
That's fantastic.
I am not kidding. I had no idea until I married him. He kept those things under wraps for good reasons. For good reasons. Anyway, but now he's given them to my six-year-old. And my six-year-old, like, while we're all hanging out in the living room, he'll just be, like, literally beating himself to a pulp with nunchucks. And I'm like, okay, the school nurse is going to call us, and they're going to take him away because he's been beaten up, you know. And he'll say, no, okay. I did it to myself. And she'll be like, that's what they
all you
say.
Did. I'm a mandatory reporter. That's exactly what will happen. Your husband has to teach him good technique.
Well, I think part of it is just, like, working with them to... I don't understand the desire, the drive to have them, to beat yourself up with them. I don't know. It's all very
We're confusing. On the outside of this.
We are.
I think we need to admit we don't get it. We can appreciate from afar.
Mm-hmm. From very afar, because he is bad at these things.
We spend a third of our lives in bed. A third. This holiday season is a great time for you to do a bedding upgrade and get yourself some better sheets. The way Brooklinen works is they've taken out the middleman, so they work right with the manufacturers to give you five-star hotel quality sheets that are affordable and easy to order. They also have towels, robes, candles, sleep masks. They have everything you need to sleep well. And their super fast shipping makes it to where you're going to get it in time for Christmas. My Brooklinen sheets, I love them. They are the most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just for you guys. You get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code SWP at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident in their products, and they should be because they're great, that all of their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code SWP at Brooklinen.com. That's Brooklinen.com, promo code SWP. Brooklinen. They really are the best sheets ever.
Okay, so you've sufficiently dodged that question. I appreciate it.
I can't remember what it was. Tell me
I can't remember either, but we're out of time, and I loved it. We have to move on to the lightning round.
Okay.
These are not hard.
Are they going to be like esoteric philosophical questions? Are you going to ask me about Greek and Hebrew roots?
I don't know what esoteric means, but I feel like there's nothing about that in here.
Goodness.
Would you rather your shirts always be two sizes too large or one size too small?
Are you funny? Large. I've had three children. There is no too small available to me.
Okay. I've gained a little weight, and so all my shirts are one size too small, and I don't like it.
No.
I don't like it.
I'm looking at you, and I don't see any gained weight, but we'll just...
Oh, because this shirt is two sizes too large.
It would show in the face.
No, it doesn't.
I know.
It's only my butt.
Real.
It's my butt and my... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. What is something popular now that really annoys you?
I would say the entire Kardashian phenomenon.
Okay.
It's confusing to me. Mm-hmm. And a subset of that is butt implants.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird to me.
I don't understand. I think someone gave me butt implants while I was sleeping, and that is my problem. I need to sue someone.
Okay, well, then you need to be excited about that, because apparently people are paying big money to get their tushes larger.
I am so on trend, on point. On fleek.
You are super on fleek.
Do we only say on fleek when it's about eyebrows? I just don't.
You're asking a woman who sees movies 12,000 years after they've been released. So please don't ask me about anything current, because on fleek, is that the same thing as like totally rad? Because that's where I am.
Yeah, I don't know.
Too.
Has anyone ever saved your life?
Has anyone ever saved my life? That's a really great question. Probably. Indirectly, yeah, I'm going to say yes. First, I was run over by a car when I was 2 years old, and I had a bilateral skull fracture. So my skull was cracked in two places.
Wow.
And it was right after my dad had prayed this audacious prayer saying, okay, God, if you're real, tell me. If not, I'm walking. I've gone to church my whole life. It's a waste of time. I just want to know for real. And then we can go our separate ways. He actually prayed that. He's not a subtle man. And he's rather type A. So he thought it'd be more efficient just to pray that prayer. And about 2 weeks later.
It's about time management.
It really is about time management.
Okay.
He's read all of those books in Costco. And so about 2 weeks later, I was walking around the house when my dad came home for lunch. My parents didn't notice. I was two. If you've had a two-year-old, you know, things can change rather quickly without you noticing. And so I walked around to the front of the house. My neighbor actually ran me over in her car, and she got out of the car and was weeping when she realized it was me and not, she thought it was her basset hound and it was me instead. So they ran me to the hospital and asked a whole bunch of people to pray. I still have little old ladies who come up to me and say, "Aren't you that miracle baby?" Because I was out of the hospital in 5 days, no swelling, no Tylenol.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
Do you remember any of that? I know two is so young.
No, but you know, it's the stuff of our family. It was a turning point for our family spiritually. So my dad in particular decided that was the answer to his prayer, that God really was real. And so I wish you could meet my dad. He's just really a phenomenal person and super generous, and he 180'd our family trajectory towards living a life of trying to know God better and serve him well and love him well. And so yeah, I guess when you say, "Did someone save my life?" I guess Jesus did. And also the pediatrician who met my parents coming into the ER ended up being my pediatrician for however many years, and then my children's pediatrician until last year when she retired.
Oh my goodness.
And she never could tell that story without crying, because it didn't make any sense. You know, why a little girl who was so broken walked out 5 days later.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. It's become more amazing when I became a mom. It became more amazing to me. Mm-hmm. Like when Anna turned two, I cried a lot of that year when I would think of that story, because I'd think, first of all, how did my mom walk through that mm-hmm. and not crumple? Mm-hmm. Because she talks now about how there was just like this cloak of mercy on her and just grace. And she just was able to kind of move through that without blaming herself or, you know, having nightmares for 20 years or whatever.
Or always keeping you like within arm's distance, exactly. You know, like there could be a lot
totally.
Of fear.
Yeah. So yeah, sorry, that was supposed to be lightning. That was kind of like molasses answer instead of lightning. Okay. But yes, someone has saved my life.
I love that. Wow. It's amazing. Okay, well, what is the silliest fear that you have?
Oh, I'm coming up empty here. What's yours? You start me out. You wrote the questions. Now I'm turning them back to you. See that? See what I did there?
You have really commandeered this interview in a couple of places.
That is called not knowing what I'm doing. But I'm glad you used commandeered instead.
I felt good about it. Yeah, I felt good. I don't know what I'm... I used to have a serious fear of parking my car in front of people.
Oh, I can identify with that, especially if it's parallel. Parallel parking freaks me out.
I just won't do that. But I mean like parking in a regular spot.
Okay.
Because mm-hmm. But it's not that silly. When I was in college, I just started driving. I bought a stick shift. I did not know how to drive a stick shift. I didn't even know how to drive it off the lot. But I felt like if I bought a stick shift car, I will definitely learn how, because it's my car. And
that's
I want to
drive
that's
it. That's facing fear. That's good. That was a good move.
Yes. But then I pulled into a parking space at a coffee shop with a patio. And there was a car, you know, I was facing another car in the parking space. And I don't know, stalled it, or I don't know what happened. But all of a sudden, my front of my car was on top of the front of their car.
Oh, no.
And they were on the patio having coffee. So they saw the whole thing.
Oh.
So I couldn't be like, what on earth happened?
Somebody else did that. Oh, shoot.
So it's not that silly of a fear.
I don't think that's silly. I think that's a grounded fear.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
I affirm it.
You know, listen, we never talked about this, but I do want to talk about, you are a fiction book writer.
Correct.
Author. That's a better word than book writer. Why fiction?
Oh, you know what? I feel like the quick answer to that is I feel like story can get you places in a way that nonfiction can't.
Okay.
Well, first of all, I'm not smart enough to write a nonfiction book, because you can't lie. So there's that. And then also, I just feel like people respond to story in a really
For sure.
cool way that maybe they don't otherwise.
But how do you know you're writing a story that's engaging?
I don't.
Well,
I have no idea. I mean,
you've written so many books. You are writing engaging stories.
No, I mean, there's always that doubt, though. I mean, you ask about silly fear. I don't know if this is silly or not silly, but there is always the fear that only my mom will think this is a worthwhile story to tell. And it's totally, completely well-grounded because it's very possible.
How many have you written?
This newest one is called Heartland, and it just came out in July, and that was number 8.
8. Okay. That's what I thought.
Well, 9, if you count the one buried under a tree in my backyard that will never see any other set of human eyes.
Why did you bury it?
Because it's bad.
What if it's your best piece? What if it's your opus?
No, it's not my opus. It is like a commercial jingle. It's not an opus. It's not good. I had to try it out to know that it was bad. So it's okay to be under the tree. It's probably going to be a really great bit of fertilizer for a peony bush next year, actually. So, but I learned a lot through that. So it was worthwhile. So yeah, I don't know. Fiction, I think, is a spot where you can go places and people don't put up walls as much, maybe. And I write funny fiction. It's not like slapstick, but there's some humor in it because I think laughter's super underrated. And I think happy endings are very, very much underrated. So
is there a happy ending in all your books? Are you allowed to say that?
Yeah, I am. And there is a happy ending. Mm-hmm. I love it. It's funny because I don't necessarily always, I read a whole wide breadth of different kinds of books, but my natural storytelling voice is definitely leaning toward a happy ending.
I like it.
I like it. Yeah.
And you said that you write about things that some Christians are like, what? She's talking about wine?
Yeah, totally.
But it's really not your, it's not like it's inappropriate. It's just real life.
No, I'm a funny fit for the Christians and I'm a funny fit for mainstream. So when I've written for both. So for mainstream fiction, I'm a little Pollyanna. I don't have enough. I had an actual editor at a big house say to me, I can sell so many more copies of this if you'll do things, two things. First, your main character needs to have a lot of sex with a lot of different people. And then also it needs to be raunchy, sex. If you can do that, I can sell a lot of copies of this book. And I politely declined because that's not really of interest to me. I don't feel like that's not where I need to be on the shelf. But then with Christian publishing, I've had the opposite. So people saying, you know, it's okay that you have that woman drinking a glass of wine, but only if she's an alcoholic. Or it's not okay for you to intimate that a married couple enjoys each other and that after the kids go to bed, they're going to have sex. And by the way, I didn't say a word about the actual moment. I just intimated that was not okay. So it's just crazy time.
So what do you say? So do you take it out? Because that's what, I mean, that's real life.
Well, I had to make a pitch and say that and say, you know, I'm totally sure that my readers will totally get this and they'll laugh at these parts and they'll get this part and think, because I'm living that life and I'm talking, I write for my friends, I write for my girlfriends. And I know that if it flies with them, these smart, hardworking moms and wives and single moms, people who are doing the real thing, if it's flying with them, I know that there's a broader audience that will get that. And
they'll see themselves in it, right? Which isn't that the point? In some ways, is to just like.
I think so. Yeah. Absolutely. Is to try to connect to readers where they are. So for that one, I politely made a pitch to keep it in and they let me keep it in. But I have to pick my battles, you know.
Yeah. Do you have like a contract for a whole lot of books or do you just like write one and then how does that work?
It's gone both ways. So publishing has changed a lot in the 12 years that I've been doing this whole thing. And at the beginning, my first contract was for 2 books and they purchased 2 books, one of which had not been written. So I had a deadline and a contract for that book. And then the next, I had a 3 book contract, which is fantastic. So I knew that 3 projects were purchased. Again, they weren't written yet. But the world has changed quite a bit. The market is so saturated that now typically I will write the entire novel and then shop it to a publishing house, unless I'm sticking with the publishing house that I've just written for. But typically you write the whole darn thing and give it to your agent and then wait while he shops it to all different houses, and we get some feedback and eventually, hopefully, an offer or two.
Interesting. Wow. I have no desire to write a book, but I love that people do write them.
It's a long process. It's not for, there's no fast forward through it. Kind of sounds sad when I say it that way.
I'm so sorry.
And really, it is.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I have one final question. What can you not stop talking about?
Ooh. Well, I'd say, can I say a book talking thing? Not my book, of course.
Yeah.
So ridiculous. But I love the author Marissa de los Santos.
Okay.
I love her. She writes fantastic stories that are so, they're funny, they're poignant, they have layers to them. So I love her. Her newest is I'll Be Your Blue Sky. And then I would say, I mean, I am a really dorky person who likes pencils. You want to know what kind of pencil I use? Okay, edit that out. That's so stupid. No. I need to be more high-minded. What kind of cultural phenomenon is really hitting me right now? What kind of fine art piece have I seen that moved me to my very being? Come on. All I can think of is a mechanical pencil.
Well, okay, no. I am interested because I have some pencils, and I mean, they're not doing anything specifically. Velocity by Bic is what I currently... What do you love about your mechanical pencil?
Oh, I don't even know the name. They're paper made, I think. I just know that I'm constantly having to steal them back from my children.
Okay.
Because they don't, I don't like it when mechanical pencils have really light lead, you know, and they're really like really light gray. It makes me feel uncomfortable. Like when someone gives you a background and it's just kind of not really a background. That's what I feel about that. Or when it's squeaky lead.
Ew, so I hate squeaky lead. Okay.
I know.
There is a kind of mechanical pencil that looks like a pencil, like an actual pencil, but the lead is really thick. And so I hate when you push down and then the lead breaks.
What are those kinds, I wonder?
I don't know. It's an unknowable mystery.
I should have things like this that I say to people. I mean, I do always say, if you don't mind a small plug for a person in my family, my sister has a company called Binny's Butter, and it's coconut butter. And it is delicious.
B-I-N-N?
B-I-N-N-I-E.
Okay.
Binny's Butter. And they're in Whole Foods. They're in a whole bunch of different places. But she makes like six different kinds. I love the coffee macaroon. It might change your life. You can use it like any other butter. So like I put it on a green apple or on a graham cracker or on a piece of toast, or you can put it on your oatmeal or whatever. You can even bake with it. But also, in times of need, you can, I've found, eat it by the spoonful and feel better about everything. There's dark chocolate sea salt. Yes.
Wow.
And there's a cinnamon, and it's just so delicious.
Oh my gosh. I have to try it out. It's coconut what?
It's coconut butter. So it's kind of like an all. She's working now. She's hoping to get, you know, those Justin's almond butter packs.
Yeah,
I think that's the next frontier because it's so perfect for a snack and it's good for you and you can feel good about it for your kids, but it just tastes so good.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So listen, coming up here in a couple weeks is World Coconut Day. And my neighbors and I were already deciding we were going to have a party to celebrate it. And because why not? And so I'm going to get some of this at Whole Foods.
Oh, definitely. I will tell her about it and she will send you some.
Okay. That sounds even better.
Little swag, a little Emily swag.
I love it.
See, aren't you glad I thought of that after the dumb pencil comment? Because really, this is going to taste better than a pencil.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Kim, you are pretty hysterical. Thanks for talking to me today.
Thank you. It was such a fun thing for me to do this morning. I love it. And I love your show. So I'm totally fangirling. I feel good that I didn't go all Sarah Grove's weirdo cry with you.
I appreciate that.
I'm really growing.
You are. You're coming into your own.
Thank you.
Did you love that? I loved it. I can definitely tell me and Kim Stewart would be very good friends if she just lived closer. So come on, Kim, move to my neighborhood. So what will your strategy to struggle well be this week based on what Kim said? Can I tell you that one thing very practically that you need in your life is that Binny's butter that she talked about, that coconut stuff. She sent me several jars of it and that coffee macaroon. I mean, I was eating spoonfuls of it just before I started recording this. It is that amazing. So Binny's butter, get some. I loved her really simple question to know if a friend is good to keep around or not. It's a great question to ask yourself. It's a great question to ask your kids. Is it life-giving to be with that person, or do they kind of suck the life out of you? Maybe you struggle well this week by having that conversation with your kids or having that conversation with yourself. The part that really stuck out to me about this conversation was when she talked about empathy and how it just really changes everything in a relationship. So maybe you struggle well this week by really endeavoring to be empathetic towards the person in your life, possibly the person in your family who you have the largest struggle with. Maybe you struggle well this week by extending grace to yourself when you said too much. And again, I loved Kim's question, what would I tell my daughter if she kept beating herself up about something? We would let them know there's grace and they can move past it, but it's harder sometimes when it's us. I got a review recently from iTunes that this show focused more on the problems than on the solution. There was more focus on the bad stuff and there wasn't any truth being given. I don't necessarily agree with that. I do feel like I tell you things that are true, but I do appreciate the feedback. In light of that though, I wanted to make sure to include something that I love that Kim said. What is true when we have said too much was her prayer that God would set a guard over her mouth. And that is from Psalm 141, verse 3. It's set a guard over my mouth and keep watch over the door of my lips. Another translation says, help me, Lord, to keep my mouth shut and my lips sealed. Man, in parenting, in wifing, in humaning, isn't that just sometimes the very best policy? So maybe we struggle well this week by writing that on a note card, Psalm 141, verse 3, and committing it to memory. So will you do me a favor? Will you share this episode with someone in your life who would benefit from hearing it? If you love the show, I'm pretty sure they will too. And check and make sure, like right now, this is not hypothetical, it's actual. Check right now to make sure you are subscribed to this podcast. Next week, I am bringing back Katie. We're doing an entire Struggling Sisters episode on family. And when you do all of your Christmas shopping, make sure to do it through the Struggle Well Project Amazon affiliate link. That link is amazon.com/shop/Struggle Well Project. It costs you nothing and is a simple way to help out the show. Thank you to all of you who are already using it. Also, don't forget to join me on your favorite social media channel at Struggle Well Project. Together, we will begin the practice of loving our actual lives. Remember, perfection is nonsense and peace is a perspective shift away. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for laughter. Thank you for people who you can connect with immediately, even though you've never met them. Thank you for the example that Kim Stewart is of integrity in her work, that she's not going to write things that she does not agree with just because people ask her to sell books. Lord, as we engage with our families this week, would you please help us to use empathy? Lord, would you write the truth on our heart that we need to depend on you and close our blessed mouths sometimes when it's just the right thing to do? God, would you help us to extend grace to ourselves when we have said too much? And God, would you help us to be friends that give life to the people around us? Lord, thank you for these ladies. Thank you for all that they're doing in their homes. It matters. It matters so much. God, would you give us a perspective and an appreciation for how much what we're doing in our homes matters? In Jesus' name, amen.